Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Pat Holliday, Dr. Sabrina, and Brother Marshall. We're so glad that you could join us for our Wednesday evening worship service here in the Lord's Prayer Room. We give God the praise. We give him the glory. We give him the honor for all that he's doing and all that he will do. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we give you praise for all your benefits, for all your blessings, for all your mercy, for all your grace. We thank you, Father, for the word of God that comes to us in rich abundance every time we come together to worship. We thank you, Father, that there is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are the great I am, that you are wonderful, that you are our counselor, that you are our Prince of Peace. You are the mighty God. You are the Ancient of Days. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are our peace. We thank you, Lord, for your sufficiency in our lives. You, Lord, are our sufficiency. We thank you for the grace that you extend to us, Father, the grace to do this ministry, the grace to walk on the earth, the grace to receive from Jesus Christ, the grace to have the word implanted in our hearts, the grace to obey you. Father, the Bible declares that if we love you, we will obey your laws. If we love you, we will obey your commandments. If we love you, we will obey your statutes, and they will not be grievous unto us. So, Father, we come together tonight in the name of Jesus. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in our midst. So, Father, we are here gathered. And we say that it is not a grievous thing, yet a blessing from on high that we receive, Father. Thank you for your bounty. We thank you, Father, for the warring angels that you have dispatched to war on our behalf and on behalf of all of those who will come up to listen, Father, in Jesus' name, and to participate and to receive deliverance and to invite their friends over and their family over to listen to the worship service with them, Father. We thank you for the avenue of this broadcast, Father, in order to spread the gospel and to lift up the name of Jesus and to bring glory and honor to your name. We thank you, Lord, that there is no other name greater than your name, that at your name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you for the covenant of healing. We thank you for the covenant of deliverance. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is our healer, for by his stripes we have been healed. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our deliverer. We thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ became a curse for us so that we might walk in the blessings of Abraham. We thank you that he's our burden bearer. We thank you that he lifts the heavy burden, and he's the glory and the lifter up of our head. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, for your love toward us, because there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We declare, Lord, that you are true, that you are faithful, that you are the great God. We love you. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. From our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority, dominion, and power over every root of every evil work in Jesus' name. We bind them, we chain them, we cage them with eternal chains of darkness in Jesus' name. We take authority over every witch, warlock, sorcerer, diviner, and the like, and their works, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind them, we cage them, we chain them with everlasting chains from Jesus Christ. We say they'll have no effect over us, because the Bible does declare, Father, that every weapon that is formed against us shall not prosper, and every tongue that has risen against us in judgment, we shall condemn it, and it shall be proven to be wrong. We thank you, Father, that you are our adjudicator. You declare what is just and what is unjust. You declare what is legal and illegal. And we declare that encroachment of the enemy against our camp, Father, is sin and unrighteous and illegal. Therefore, we bind it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the liberty that you disperse to your people, Father. We thank you, Father, that when we repent of our sins, that the grace of God flows to us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace of repentance in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that every time we call up and give testimony and give praise and give glory and honor to your name, yet we found another foothold of victory against the enemy's war against us. We thank you, Lord, that you're Lord Sabaoth. You've never lost a battle. You've never lost a war. And that you lead us into battle in your name. We thank you for the victories, for the multiplied victories that we have received, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to decrease the gas prices, and you have done so. We thank you for it, and we ask you to do even more, Father. Take them down lower in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that when we give alms, Father, we are blessing the kingdom of God. We are displaying your giving nature. We display you as the benefactor, Father, in Jesus' name, so that men can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We thank you, Father, that every time we call on the name of Jesus, you respond. You respond quickly, whether we can see it or whether we cannot. Whether it is in the visible realm or in the invisible realm, you respond to our prayers. You listen to our call. You listen to our cries for help. You listen to our intercession for others, Father. We thank you, Father, for our family, for our friends, and for those for whom we intercede. We thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in their lives. You are touching their lives. And you are dispelling the darkness that the light may enter in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for all of our loved ones, be they saved or unsaved in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you are calling them into the kingdom out of darkness, Father, in Jesus' name. We bind the blindness of their minds, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they might receive the engrafted word of truth, Father, that their souls might be free, that they might come to Jesus and repent of their sins, Father. We thank you, Father, that they will be changed. We know that you are faithful and that you keep your word to us. We thank you for your promises, Father, the promises of your word, your precious promises, Father. They give us hope. We anchor our faith in your word. We thank you, Lord God, that no good word of your promise has ever failed. And we know that we can trust you and depend on you. We know, Father, that we will never be made ashamed trusting you. For you are our hope. You are our blessed assurance. And we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, how was your week, Dr. Sabrina?
Blessed.
Yeah.
Yes, blessed.
How was your Mother's Day?
Just wonderful. And I want to thank the person that sent me that text and thanked me for my prayers for them and my ministry and their lives. It was truly a blessing to me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. You are a blessing to so many people, Dr. Sabrina.
And so are you, Dr. Pat Holliday.
Well, we give God the glory for it all.
Amen. Yes, we do.
Because God is great and wonderful. And he's mighty to be praised.
Amen. Let's give him some praise, right?
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift up praise to you, Father, for you're worthy to be praised. We come to worship you here tonight. We came to lay our lives and our hearts before you. And we thank you, Father, for your very presence and for the entrance of your word. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, how was your mother on Mother's Day?
She was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy indeed. So we're happy that she was happy and all was well.
And so your family came home.
Yes, we all came by, and we all had ham, and we were all very happy.
Well, I take it that you guys are not Jewish.
No. We like ham, and we like it a lot. Those pigs.
So y'all are ham eaters.
Yes. Those pigs dedicated their lives for a good cause.
Amen. Well, God bless God for making them.
Amen.
Uh, You know, tonight we're going to talk about end times. We're going to talk about, for instance, we're going to talk about the rise of the Antichrist. And you see, we hear so much bad news in our days and times, you know, until, you know, a lot of Christians walk around moping about, oh, what's going on with the church and everything's so gross and the promises that these fraudulent pastors have told us is just not coming true. I still have my mortgage. I still have my debt. I gave them all my money. What am I going to do? Well, you know, Dr. Sabrina, day by day, as the end time grows nearer and nearer and nearer, the church age and the apostasy, according to the Bible, is going to rise up. Now, if you don't know the Word of God and you're depending on people to teach you, and you're not a Bible student like you are, and you say, well, you know, she said that, I'm going to go look for some more stuff on that. And you put your hand to the plow and you go say, Lord, teach me about that. I haven't heard about that before. And the Lord starts helping you to learn the scriptures for yourself. And pretty soon you have a foundation between you and God and the Word. And so when you hear these terrible things that are going on, you say, but the Bible says this is going to happen. These things are going to happen as the days grow shorter and shorter. Have you noticed how fast time is running by?
Yes, it is.
You know, that's a sign of the end times.
It is.
Because the end times says that he will shorten the days.
Yes.
For the sake of the saints. And of course, we've got mass persecutions going on in various countries in the world. Martyrs and Christian churches being burned by the Muslims. And we've got, you know, the cry of the church is just wretching because people just really don't know what to do. They don't have an idea of what's happening. And so it's because they haven't been taught the end time scriptures. And this is the part of the foundation that God gave me when I was a little baby Christian. He put me with a man that loved the end time scriptures. He wrote books on it, as a matter of fact. And so every now and then he would teach on the end time scriptures. And things that he told us way back then are happening now. And one of the things that he kept telling us was about the Pope. He believed, of course, the Pope is the Antichrist, which I don't believe that. I believe that the Pope has a big, big function in the end time church. I believe that the Pope is that mystery of Babylon that we see over in Revelation 17 and 18. And it's a religious system. And it's a fallen church is what is shown over there. And, of course, it depicts the harlot sitting on the seven hills. And so everybody that teaches on the end time believes that that depicts the Roman Catholic Church because it sits on seven hills. And so, some of them started teaching that the Pope was the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going, in my opinion, will be Jewish. Because, you see, Jesus said over in Matthew, he said, I come in the name of my Father. You won't receive me. You rejected me. He said, but one will come in his own name. Him you will receive. And so Jesus warned that group of people that he was ministering to that were rejecting him as he walked around preaching the word, that they, the Jews, would one day receive a person calling himself the Messiah. Because you see, the Jewish Bible, we are Jewish people that have been grafted in to the Old Testament through Jesus saving our souls. We become the chosen ones of Jesus Christ. We become the seed of Abraham. And you can find that over in Hebrews. And so we are the seed of Abraham. It's not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the believers in God. That's the seed of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so he showed that the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, would receive a false person because they rejected him. And he came to save their soul. He came as a spiritual, supernatural Messiah that would save us from eternal hell. That was his purpose, and he was successful in giving his life for the sheep, the people that will call on him. But what the Jewish people were looking for in his day and what they're looking for in this day is they're looking for a man that will come and save them from destruction. And so they're looking for a physical Christ, which will turn out to be the Antichrist. And I've read accounts where they've said things like, give us a man, whether he be a beast, a devil, as long as he can lead us out of our problems, we will receive him. So when people in the world start making, words like that, it means the world is now properly primed to receive that man of sin that is going to come and sit on the power of ruling over the world. Now, a lot of people do not understand that Satan is called the God of this world. And the reason that he's called the God of this world is because when Adam and Eve handed over their authority and their power through sin, disobeying God, what happened is they gave him the rights to the world. And so what he was able to do is he was able to take the keys of life and death. Now, these keys that he took from Adam and Eve are shown over in the book of Matthew 18:18-19, and they're shown as Jesus gives his believers the keys. Remember that?
Yes.
And then when you look over in the book of Revelation, you see a vision of him. When John saw him in the first chapter, he's dressed in his priestly outfit, and which means he's our mediator now. And it means that we come directly to him. We don't have to have somebody stand between us and Jesus anymore, because he's our mediator and he's our Christ, and he has all the power, see. So whenever Jesus rose from the dead, he had descended into hell for the purpose of taking the keys to life and death from the devil. Now, when you talk about these things, a lot of people think about, yeah, but people still die. See, most people don't think about eternal life. And what we're talking about here is the keys to eternal life. And now, whenever the Old Testament saints died, they were believers. And the Bible, in fact, Jesus himself described them in Luke 8 as going to the bosom of Abraham. And that's the terminology of believers. In other words, they were separated from the unbelievers in Luke 8, and they were separated because they were believers. And so what Jesus did, he came to redeem the souls. So they had to sit there separated from the fallen souls, as you see the rich man and the poor man, and the rich man goes to hell, and the poor man goes to Abraham's bosom, and the poor man cries out, the rich man cries out and says, let him go back and tell my brothers about this place. And Jesus says that God said, if you will not believe the prophets, you will not believe him. Now, how many people in today's world do we see coming back saying that they went to hell when they died, or they went to hell or heaven and they came back? I'm one of them. Before I ever got saved, I died on the operating table, and I was immediately came out of my soul, came out of my body, and it went into a thing that looks like a tube or feels like a tube, and it was like a vacuum cleaner sucking you, and you had no power over where you were going. And then finally, I ended up in a place that was talked about in Matthew as the place of darkness. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know anything about the Bible when all this happened to me. But I was there, and I cried out, and I said, God, please don't let me live in eternity like this. It's called the outer darkness. And so immediately I came back into my body. But back in those days, people weren't talking about things like this, because very few people were coming back. And of course, they've got all of these machines and equipment that they can sort of bring you back, you know. And I guess that may be why a lot of people are having so many death experiences. But the point is after I got saved, I read about the outer darkness in Matthew, and that was the place where people are going that were supposed to come to heaven but failed. And so, of course, you got heaven, hell, and then you've got that place called the outer darkness that's described in the book of Matthew. So the reality of life after death, according to the Word of God, it's absolutely a fact. But according to people that are non-believers, they don't believe that. They think that when you die, the worms eat you, and that's all. Or if they believe in an afterlife, they believe in the occult descriptions of it, where you die and then you come back in another form. The Bible does not promise us that. In fact, in Hebrews, I think it's 6:7, but I might be wrong, so you need to check the address. It says, for you are once given to live, and then you face judgment. So the Bible says that we have one time around. So it's important for Christians that are preachers to preach the word, so that the Christians can understand it, that are believers, so that you can upgird them in their faith, so that they can stand during trials and tribulations. But it's also, Jesus told us in Mark, I think around 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you see in Matthew also it's there. He commissioned us in what we call the Great Commission to go out and preach the gospel. Well, Dr. Sabrina, you know, I came up on Facebook some years back, and I've seen all sorts of weird things being preached up on Facebook. One thing, the UFO little green men are coming to get us. The other thing is, you know, the giants that Eve had actually had, Cain, that she birthed Cain with the devil. And that she's called, that Cain's called the serpent seed because she got pregnant by the devil. Well, you see, there's no scripture at all to tell us that angels can procreate. As a matter of fact, Jesus made a point to say, angels do not marry in heaven, nor are they given in marriage. And so God is not going to create a being that can't be given in marriage so that he can come down and infect earthly women with his seed. He has no seed because the Bible tells us very clearly that God created this group of angels, right? And one third fell from heaven. And two-thirds remained up there with him. And the Bible doesn't say that God is still creating angels. Mm-hmm. It gives us a figure of the that he created these angels, and a third of them fell, and two-thirds of them are up in heaven. So I saw all that stuff about the serpent seed. And then they totally deny or forget about the great flood that killed everybody except those that were in the ark. And they go on and say, the Old Testament says there were giants in the land, and the Old Testament says that we are half people that are half from fallen angels and from human beings. So we're hybrids. Well, you see, when with all of this crazy stuff being taught in the churches today and on the radio and in the internet, Christians themselves are very, very confused. If they don't have a firm foundation in some of the doctrines, the basics of the Word of God, they're in confusion. And so, another thing that goes around on the internet a lot is there's not going to be a rapture of the church. And they go on and they say the rapture was a prophecy that was given in the 1800s by this woman. Well, you know, I did a very thorough biblical research on the rapture and the bride and the bridegroom, and I've written a book that's up on Amazon.com/Pat Holliday Kindles of Books, and I did that because I could see that even a lot of people that I could discern on the internet that were Christians had no foundations. And so you have to get your doctrines from the Bible. You cannot believe people that are teaching you about giants in the land, and because the Old Testament says giants in the land, that means that Eve had Cain with the devil. When you read Genesis right there, it says, and she birthed or had a son, her and Adam. It says it right there very, very precisely and clearly. But when you've got people that take all the Jewish ancient writings like the Book of Enoch and the others, and they begin to take those those things and make them and put them alongside the Bible and make them true, then they intermix all of those false teachings with biblical teachings, and they come up with what we've got. And what we have in a lot of instances is the mess. So this is why we teach on salvation, the baptism, tongues. We teach on all of these various, you know, deliverance. All of these various doctrines is what they're called. And doctrines are belief systems that you find in the Bible where Scripture is compared with Scripture. And if you have a doctrine like salvation, you can find salvation over in the Old Testament and the promise of the Messiah that's going to come and save your soul. And then you can find all of those scriptures that jibe, and you can put them together, and you come up with the doctrine of salvation, or you come up with the doctrine of baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that we need to get our information from the Bible.
Amen.
That's what I've always stood on, and it's really helped me. Because every now and then I have to go and do a crash course and find out, why is this minister wrong? What did he say that was wrong? Because people start saying, this person's a false preacher. Well, you know, I've been called a witch, a false prophetess, and everything in the book, just like Jesus was. So I don't judge people because other people are saying that. If I write an article on somebody, I go and look and find out why. Why is it that this, what is that guy we spoke of a couple of weeks ago?
Kim Clement.
I've heard of him. I saw him twice on the radio or TV, and I thought, this guy is insane. That's all, and I turned him off. But then somebody wrote an article and said he was a false prophet. So I said, well, I'm going to go find out why he's a false prophet. And I found tracts where he personally said and believes that he does not believe that you have to be born again to go into heaven. Well, that's all I needed to know, because Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again.
That's right.
And it's not a born again of the flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see, because of the foundations that God has laid in me over the years, in addition to having the spirit of discerning spirits, I can discern things.
Mm-hmm.
But most Christians can't discern anything. So it's important for us to know about the Antichrist, because we're living in that season of time. For instance, the church age will close with apostasy. What are we in? You look around our town, and most all of your big churches are in apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
People that you and I've known for years, they're in apostasy. We see them, and they tell us what they're into and what they believe, and they're no longer believers. Not according to the basics of the Bible, right?
That's right.
And so their religious leaders are denying away biblical truth every day. And then apathy on the part of the church and Christians, and what they have inherited, instead of inheriting like you did, the foundation of Christian faith from your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
who took you to church every Sunday, sat with you, sat on her knee, and she taught you the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
that you could see things that other people couldn't see because you had foundations. Plus, the church, when you were growing up, was still teaching out of the King James Version of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
They were teaching Jesus Christ is God.
Mm-hmm.
He arose from the dead. Mm-hmm. All of these things that you and I teach today. So what they're teaching in these other places is, ha, 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 let me touch you and you'll laugh. and they'll sit in a service and everybody lasts for 45 minutes and nobody thought anything was wrong with that. Well, I wanted to know what, excuse me, I wanted to know what was wrong with that. And so I went and started looking. And what I discovered way back when it first started, I discovered that it was called a Kundalini spirit. And the Kundalini spirit comes from India, from the Hindu religion. And that Kundalini spirit is a giant snake. And that giant snake comes in to the base of the spine of those people and many Christians today. And that spirit lodges there. And whenever they get in what they call the spirit and they start praising their gods, that spirit starts rising up, that snake spirit, rising up the base of their spine, and it will rise up, and there's a point that they teach that you can go in to an ecstasy. They call it something, I think, from memory. I did this research many years ago. I can't pull it out right now, but they've got a terminology for it. And when you go into that, what happens is you go into a trance and you never come out of it. Mm-hmm. And so in India, whenever somebody goes into that trance, they think that they've reached their godhood. And so the family waits on that person. And they feed that person and clothe that person like they do their gods. In America, when Americans go into that Kundalini trance, it's not karma. That's what happens when you sin, comes back on you. But it may come to me. Anyway, Nirvana. I'm talking to, huh?
Nirvana.
Nirvana. Thank you, Lord. In America, if they go into that Nirvana trance, the family takes them to the mental institution, and that's where they are, you see. They don't take care of them. They just hand them over to the state like they're a piece of trash. And so this is not the subject I was going to teach on. I know this happens because I knew a couple where they started teaching transcendental meditation. And one of the teachers went into the Nirvana, and her daddy was talking to me, and they put her in the mental institution. This is how I know all of that. When you've been in the ministry for 35 or more years, you know a lot that other people just have forgotten. But anyway, so this religious apostasy has come into the church through the third wave, which we've taught you about, and through the prophecy ministries, those are divinators, they're not prophets and prophetesses, and through the healing ministry. A lot of them use other things to heal people. Look, you send me, I've sent you this corn, you send me a dollar bill and God will heal you. God doesn't heal you because you send somebody something. He heals you because of the name of Jesus. So there's a lot of prophecy. There's a lot of apostasy everywhere. And now I'm just looking at a book that I came across and I was reading in. And this book, it was written back in February 3rd, 1973, okay? That's a long time ago. That's before I was saved. And this man writes in this book, and his name was Sherman Harper. He wrote in this book, he wrote, with apathy on the part of the church and the Christians, with a country club civic center religion. And that's what we're in now. We're at that stage where we're in the country club, where everybody has to be rich or God's not blessing you. You got to have a new car. Some of them will go out and buy used Lexus to make their neighbor think that they're wealthy. Some of them go to the thrift shop and buy used clothes or whatever to give the appearance that they've made it when they're really poorer than church mouses, right? But now, listen to this part that this particular same man wrote, 1973. He said, the announcement was made February the 3rd, 1973, in bold type. The long-cherished dream of a common Bible complete. The churches. The statement was by Emily V. Gibbs, an executive of the National Council of Churches. Its general acceptance marks one more step toward the end for which Jesus prayed that we would all be one. No such thing, there's no such thing, Harper writes, as a common Bible. Now, he wrote this in 1973. So the King James Version was still used quite a bit in the churches until around 1980s, mid, maybe late 1980s. Well, I can tell you, 1984, I think around 82 or 84, they released the New King James Version. And before that, they had released the International Version, which was called the Gay Bible from the beginning because they had twisted all the scriptures concerning gay issues, homosexuality. And so the Bible was, the churches were flooded with these false Bibles. And many of your preachers hopped on the New King James because they said their people could understand it. Well, you see, you can understand the King James Version, but you got to be born again.
That's right.
It looks like a bunch of mess until you are born again. Mm-hmm. So that's when the great falling away began to happen in the churches in the late 80s and throughout the 90s and right up on to today. Little here and a little there. And the next thing you know, your major churches in each of your big towns fill up their buses and take Christians over to a drunk called Todd Bentley, and who was having an affair with his present wife, who left his children, left his older wife, who looked crippled to me when she walked, married this nice young thing, and the person that married him was the Rick Joyner, who has the old TBN land, who was going to restore him. And the way he restored him, he said, well, what you need to do is to marry your mistress, leave your family, leave your children, marry your mistress, and God will accept your ministry. And the two of them have gone around ministering, and American churches receive them, and churches over in the foreign countries receive them. And so there's no standards left. So that's why the churches are in such darkness. And that's why we, Dr. Sabrina, are at the place where there's a great falling away. We're in the end times. We're in that time just before Jesus returns. I mean, I think we're looking at the door. Mm-hmm. And whenever he opens that door, I think that we're going to go and be with Jesus personally. But now, what the people in the world say of these phony people that go up in the false flying saucers and all that stuff, what they say is that's just a cop-out because Christians don't want to fight in the battle that we're raging today. Well, I fight in the battle every day. But I fight in the battle for a different thing than they do. I know that we can't stop the Word of God. I know that some of the things that are going on now is leading to the throne of the Antichrist. There's no question about that. But at the same time, we're supposed to war for souls. We're supposed to intercede for souls. We can ask God for time. We can ask God to open up doors that people can hear our radio broadcast, which, by the way, we can recast this show anytime we want to. Mm-hmm. So I'm now, our shows, several of them, on Saturday night at 7:30, mm-hmm. and I'm recasting it on Sunday. So we're getting three times the coverage that we're getting right now.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And we can do more. It's just that I have to walk slowly because we don't have people that help us technically. Mm-hmm. So we're heard instead of two times every week, we're heard six times every week.
Okay.
Internationally.
Praise the Lord.
And we'll go on with that saying. Mm-hmm. So the Antichrist, the door is right there because the major sign is, one of the marks is the departure from the revealed truth of God. The revealed truth of God, you get it in His Bible. Now, some people hear about Jesus, and they say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I got saved when I was a kid. But they don't serve Jesus. You see, I believe that you better serve Him.
Mm-hmm.
Because elsewise, you may just well fall away. Amen?
Amen.
You will follow after. Let me give you a few things, and we'll talk about briefly about the Antichrist. You will fall under controlled methods instead of the master. I just wrote a newsletter that's brand new up on remnantradio.org. It's the newest newsletter. I guess Nicole could go up there and paste it on our new chat room.
Thank you, Nicole.
But it's about exactly that. It's very interesting. It's preachers under mind control or something like that. But it's about how the church started with the powers of mind control ending up to where we are now. It's a very interesting article. And so then you're controlled instead of Jesus. You have to willingly serve Him every day, right?
That's right.
It's captured in myths instead of miracles, true miracles.
Mm-hmm.
It commands are man-made instead of the Holy Spirit manifestation. Now, I just put a book up on Amazon.com, and it's mystical parapsychology and man-made, captured by man-made or something. But anyway, it's a brand new book up there that's also shows you, because I wrote some of this stuff way back and I've just updated it a little bit, and you can actually see how it all started in mm-hmm. the article and also in that new book up there. Nicole knows how to go up and paste that new book in too. Thank you, Nicole. And so, in other words, the church is now being controlled by men instead of the Holy Spirit. And then deceptions by religious teachings. And you'll find that over in Matthew 24:11. A departure from the revealed truth that I just described. You'll find those over in Romans 1:21. departure from the religious teachings, that's Christian faith teachings, it's translation without transformation. And see, that's what you get when you go to teachers that do not have the true faith. They do not have a real relationship with Jesus. The teacher is not really spirit-filled by the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ baptizing them into the Holy Spirit. You get transformed, but it's not the transformation of the new birth where you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You become transformed into witchcraft and into man-made religions. It's new Bibles without the new birth. It's really what it is. And then it's religion without regeneration. Now then the next area, these are marks and signs of the times, is declining of respectful thought in Romans 1:28. It's permissiveness. Like cursing and sexual activity on television and radio and in the press. It's popular drinking, even in the church. It's public acts of adultery on movies and books. It's a rise of the occult and witchcraft and a decline of Christianity. Then the next area is Romans 1:29. It degenerates, the degenerates rise in trouble. They reject the gospel as the word of God. Oh, it doesn't matter what Bible you read as long as you're reading the Bible. It doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go to church. Well, you see it does, because these things can steal your soul. Right?
Amen.
And then a reverence, evil, sin, and Satan more than God. Well, you know, I go to church every Sunday to please my wife, but she doesn't know it, but I watch pornography all the time on my computer. And I have a woman at work that I have sex with, but that she doesn't know it. Well, you know, God knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's becoming reprobate in heart and in morals and in spirit. And then in 2 Timothy 3:3, it's despising the righteous testimony. They resent the preaching of truth and usually will slander a pastor or a person that teaches the truth of the Word of God. It's ranting about conditions, but we've really, in America, never had it so good, even as bad as things are, you know, and they're getting worse. It's ridicule of everything right and patriotic. Of course, America's foundation was on God, and now little children can't say prayers in the school. They can't say the name of Jesus now in schools. They can't wear a flag in school, Dr. Sabrina.
Mm.
And just step by step by step, they took away our traditions and our American Christian culture. And meanwhile, Christians are sitting in churches laughing like hyenas and crawling around on the floor like snakes. And the pastor sits crying out, "More, more, Lord." God knows they don't need more. Now, demons, rebellion, and terror, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, riots spreading worldwide, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
I mean, I just described that Christian churches all over the world are being burned, Christians beheaded. All kinds of awful things are going on. And we have Israel that is owned, 85% of it is owned by Khazar Jewish Rothschilds. Mm-hmm. And American Christians are praying day and night for the peace of Israel, when these Khazar Jews came in and ran the Palestinians off of their land into the desert, and the Palestinians are Christians. Mm-hmm. And Christians are saying, I stand with Israel. How about standing with the persecuted Christian church? Mm-hmm. And if it's a Jew persecuting the church, I'm not for that person. Are you? Mm-hmm. No way. And it's for riots spreading worldwide, rebellions against God and country. It's riffraff, murdering and destroying. And then it's a descent of Redeemer, as foretold in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which the rapture is the blessed hope of all believers. The bright day ahead for all saints, and the best is yet to come for the saved. You see, we have to look at this stuff spiritually in order to survive it. And, I mean, when you see your country away day by day by day, and you see the church and the sleeping giant still asleep, this is the time that you have to rise up and you have to say, Jesus, if everybody leaves you, I'm going to stand. Right?
That's right.
And so in 2 Timothy 3:4, wait, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 4, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And if this isn't how we are today, we're living as in the days of Noah, according to Luke 17, verse 26 and 27, and Genesis 6, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. And there's violence everywhere. And that was one of the major signs. And then, as in the days of Lot, in Luke 17, 28, 30, and Genesis 18, 20. And they were also living it up, aside from Lot. No fear of God. It was a city of homosexuals, and all the city, both old and young. And this is called an abomination to God in the Bible. No matter what any of them say, archbishops, you know that the archbishop of the Church of England, who is the pastor to the Queen over there, and that man announced about a year ago that he was now a Druid priest, and that he has joined the Anglican Church to Rome, and he has also announced that he's a Luciferian, and as has the Pope, by the way. This new Pope says he's a Luciferian, and he's also says that he is a homosexual. Now, you see, the whole church is becoming polluted. It wasn't like that years back when you were a child. But that's the way things are happening. And it's becoming a little yeast will destroy the whole loaf.
Amen.
And there's very few people that are standing up against what we see happening. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, that's chapter 4, 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall remain, shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, you know, Dr. Sabrina, a lot of them that don't believe in the rapture of the church, they say that's the Lord's second coming. Mm. But when you read, and I've taught on it many times up here, about the Lord's second coming in the book of Revelation, he descends from heaven with a shout, and all of his angels and his believers are following him on white horses. He's on a white horse. You remember me teaching that? He's on a white horse. He's got an angel that is as big as the sun, that blocks out the light of the sun, and the light of the S-O-N is descending to the earth with his believers at the end of the tribulation period. And the Bible shows that when he touches the Mount of Olives, that what happens is it splits in two. And that's when in Zechariah, the Bible shows that the Jews look up and they recognize their Messiah, and they begin to weep and cry like a mother that has lost her child. You see, the Bible is very specific that there really is two happenings. There's a happening when Jesus comes back for the rapture of the church before the tribulation. Why would God put the believers through the tribulation period, which we've already said we believe in you, Jesus? Why would he punish us? The tribulation period is punishment for those on the earth that reject him as Messiah. And so there's a much, much, much more, you know, that we could go into concerning the tribulation and the deceptions of the whole world, and the lying signs and wonders of the Antichrist, and the fact that that he's going to reign for 7 years, according to Scripture. That's what it says. Now, let's just look at, I'm going to give you some references on the rise of the Antichrist. And in 1 John 2:18, it says, "In the last time, the Antichrist shall come." I'm not reading the whole scriptures. I'm just giving you some scripture references. In 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, "That day," and that day means of the coming of Jesus, "shall not come until, except the man of sin be revealed." Now, who is the man of sin? The man of sin is the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "whose coming is after the, according to the working of Satan." In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, "God shall send them strong delusions." And that strong delusions is a falling away from the faith, as we see happening today. And it's also the strong delusion of receiving the Antichrist, which many of your church people are receiving that Antichrist system. I mean, I taught you about a month ago, Kenneth Copeland has opened up his congregation to receive the Pope and Rome as their brethren. Rick Warren on television just last week has received it. And many other charismatics are falling right in line daily to open up their hearts to go to Rome. Well, you see, Dr. Sabrina, I don't want to go to Rome. Yes. I've been there. I've seen it. And it's just the biggest bunch of sinful things I've ever seen. You know, last week, the Pope came out and he challenged all the governments of the world to give away their wealth to the poor. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the wealthiest things on the face of the earth is the Catholic Church.
I know, that's right.
Why don't they give away their wealth and show us how to give away ours? Wouldn't that be a good deal?
I don't think it's going to go that way.
It is. Well, it isn't going to go down that way, is it?
No, I don't.
And so Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 says, "In the latter times, a king of fierce countenance shall stand up." Now, that's what the world is waiting for today. They've got their 10 countries called the EU, Europe United. All of those countries have a king over them. Taxi Mars wrote a book, The Circle of Intrigue. Mm-hmm. I guess it's probably been 6, maybe 8 years ago. And in that book, he was the first one that had put his finger on the fact that the EU is that 10 countries that are described in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and that each one of them have a king. And that is where the Antichrist is going to rule over that EU. Now, in Book of Revelation 13, by the way, you can get that book on his website, TexiMars.com, or also up on Amazon, in Circle of Intrigue. Very intriguing books. And he names names in that book of those that are participating in bringing this end time to pass. Revelation 13:4. The dragon, and the Bible says the dragon is Satan, which gave his power to the beast. Now, Dr. Sabrina, Revelation 13 describes a beast coming up from the ocean, and he's got 7 heads on him. That means he's got 7 rulers that are connected to him. And he comes up from the sea. And you remember I wrote that book, Witch Doctor and the Man,
yes.
A City Under the Sea.
Yes.
And he described us standing before the throne of Satan under the sea. So that's where his throne is. And so the Bible says that Apollyon, which is described as the destroyer, he's also described as the king of the beast, or the king of the abyss, which is hell. He's not Satan, by the way. He is a archangel of Satan. And he comes up from the sea in Revelation 13. And the Bible shows us that this is the supernatural being that will possess the man of sin that we've already told you about on the scriptures just above this, that the Bible calls the Antichrist. He's also called the Lawless One. He's a man. And this beast that comes up from the sea will possess that man called the Antichrist. And when the beast, the spirit, the beast, takes over the man's body, that man's will cease to be. The man the men in the world today that are striving to become the Antichrist, And there's competitions going on today of those that want to sit in that seat. They think, oh, I'm going to rule the world. They're not. Because the beast, the spirit, will bind that man's spirit right down into the pit of his stomach. And he, the spirit, will rule the world. And you know, the book of Revelation proves it all, because the book of Revelation, as a matter of fact, tells us, I believe in these same chapters, either here or 9:11 is another great one about the Antichrist. But the book of Revelation describes that the beast will rule the world, and the whole world will run after the Antichrist to worship the image of the beast. Is that, and they will be put to death if they won't worship the image of the beast. Well, you know, I've always thought of the image of the beast being a statue, haven't you? You know what the image is? It's the body of the man that the beast is in.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the body, the Antichrist, he's no longer active because he's bound by the spiritual realms.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says that Satan gives them his, Satan's power, mm-hmm. to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
He gives beast number one and beast number two the power to rule the world. Now, you know, I was thinking about that one day, Dr. Sabrina, and I was thinking about when Jesus came to the earth. And you know, God the Father was on his throne,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit was up there,
mm-hmm.
who, well, and then Jesus came to the earth to die for the sin of man.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got what we call the Holy Trinity,
mm-hmm.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit there. Well, there's an unholy Trinity. And that unholy Trinity is Satan sits on his throne spiritually, supernaturally, like Father sat on his throne spiritually and supernaturally in heaven. Then you've got the Holy Spirit that came down to be the administrator of the church of Jesus Christ. Well, then you've got the unholy spirit, which is Abaddon, also known as Apollyon, which is the same mm-hmm. spirit. They take residence in the man
mm-hmm.
called the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's your unholy spirit. The Antichrist, Apollyon, and the false prophet. There they are. And so here we are. We're seeing all of these little pieces of the puzzles coming together in our day. And see, I've been looking at the puzzle for a long time. And I used to love to do puzzles when I was a kid. And you know how it is. Whenever you get right to the end of the puzzle, sometimes that's the hardest part to solve, because you're so excited that you're almost finished and you're having problems getting in your mind those few pieces mm-hmm. left to put in place. Well, watching the New World Order as I have even before I became a Christian, because I came out of politics, having watched this system being placed piece by piece by piece over these many years, I think that we're right at that part where the final pieces of puzzles have to be put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that could happen at any time. Any time. Who is the Antichrist? Is it Obama? I think Obama thinks he is the Antichrist. I mean, I've got articles up on Remnant Radio about him, mm-hmm. where they have actually dressed him up as Osiris,
mm-hmm.
As the god that they're expecting to rule over America.
Mm-hmm.
And they staged his inauguration. They made the throne of Peganus in Denver, Ohio, facing the white horse. You know, Antichrist comes in to power on a white horse,
mm-hmm.
without a bow and arrow, because he comes as a man of peace. And they have the background of that white Denver Broncos horse up there. They recreated Pegasus that you see over at the gates, Brandenburg gates in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And before he got elected, he went there and he made a speech to the world facing Satan's throne at the Brandenburg gates. And he announced that I am a citizen of the world. There was 100,000 people that showed out to greet him.
Mm.
Obama went back over there last year to try to get some steam for his presidency because people are waking up and finding out he's a liar. He went back over there and only could draw about 3,000 or 4,000 people. So his popularity has plummeted in America, but at the same time, the world is catching on too, that this is a liar. But he was depicted as a man of peace. He was given the Peace Prize just several months after he became a president of the United States, and he had never done anything to create peace. But since he's been president, millions or hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in wars,
mm-hmm.
and with him at the forefront of those wars. And so we are looking at a man of war sitting in the White House who is not even an American citizen. So we're looking at strange times that we've never seen before,
mm-hmm.
in our country. We're looking at children being massacred in our nation, in school systems. We're looking at homosexuality. Dr. Sabrina, if you say something against homosexuality, you're X'd out of the system now. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
You see that guy that owned the basketball team, and he said something to his floozy. And he was getting on to her because she wanted to fellowship around with Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson is a glamorous man, let's face it. And he's an old man that all he's got is money. And his girlfriend's running after Magic Johnson. So he makes a slurred remark about her associating with blacks. And then it's construed to the press that he's made an anti-racial remark, which maybe he did. I'm not defending him at all. But what I'm saying is, from that remark, without a trial, the commission rose up and took his ball team away from him, which he owns, and paid millions of dollars for it. And now his wife says, it's my ball team, and we've got this big thing going on. But they X'd him out of the system is the point.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can X him out of the system for a racial remark, it's just a wee bit of a time
mm-hmm.
where they're going to be able to X us out of the system for making whatever remarks they don't agree with too.
That's right.
So we're living in this hour of time where we're in grave danger that if Jesus doesn't return, there's going to be a lot of martyrs in America. And there may be martyrs in America even before he returns. Because he said peerless in Matthew 24, he said peerless times shall come. I believe that we're in these days of peerless times. Back in 1980s, before the Iron Curtain fell, the persecuted Christians over in Russia, do you know, Dr. Sabrina, that they were praying for persecution to come to America? And whenever they were asked, why are you praying that? They said, well, when persecution comes to America, then Jesus will return. And we're under dreadful, dreadful persecution in Russia. And, of course, the Iron Curtain fell. And a brief season of freedom of Christianity came, but then they put the top back on that, and Putin is a Russian. Well, he would head up the church today, like the Pope does in Rome, the Russian church. Greek Orthodox is what they really are. But we're getting down some little strange avenues, and I'm just going to say that I believe that we're looking for the for Jesus to return. We're not looking for the Antichrist. As believers, we're looking for Jesus Christ. And this is why we study the Bible, and when we see the signs of the seasons like we've looked at tonight, we're not walking around in a state of horror and fear. We just know that the scriptures are being fulfilled. And we know that we still are living today to pray for our children, to pray for our friends that have been brought out underneath the very powerful enchantments and deceptions and witchcraft through the infiltrators into the Christian church. So we've got a job to do. That's the way we look at it. And we say, thank you, Jesus, for letting us live for such a time as this. We are the Esthers of the land. Right?
That's right.
The men are the Elijahs of the land and the Elishas. And so here we are sitting on the greatest power of the universe. Oh, woe is me, everybody thinks. No, it's not woe is you. This is our time. This is our time of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, they are going to be defeated just by the word of Jesus Christ, his double-edged sword. The sword in the Bible is the word of God, right?
Correct.
So he's just going to speak, and his words will immediately, absolutely, instantaneously judge between the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. Who are the sheep and the goats? People say, well, they're the believers. The sheep and the goats in Israel, when he judges them with a two-edged sword, that is the Jewish people, the blood Jewish people that are his brethren, mm-hmm. who recognize him when they see him and cry for him, mm-hmm. opposed to the Khazar Jews that now own 85% of Jerusalem or Israel. They are the goats. I've never heard anybody say it but me. But that is as I see it, and I believe I'm right. We'll know one day all of these things, but until then, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And Dr. Sabrina's going to come, and I'm going to go look for our co-host. And so Dr. Sabrina's going to come and have a word. God bless
Amen.
You all.
Praise the Lord. What a mighty word we've heard tonight. God is truly with us here. We'd like to invite you to call on our guest call-in number and so that you can speak with us, so that you can give your praise reports, your testimonies, give glory to the name of Jesus Christ, our request prayer or request deliverance. Our number is area code 805.
Turn your speaker down, Marshall. 661, turn your speaker down, Marshall. I guess you can. I'll go back over to 610. Please.
Our number again is area code 805-292-0300. Press 1, to let us know that you desire to speak with us. Again, that number is area code 805-292-0300. Now,
I found both numbers, so
come on, turn your speaker down, Marshall. You don't have to do it yet. Go ahead.
I'm going to give you the scriptures for this evening. If I happen to do a repetition, forgive me. Thank you. Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 29 through 31. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 11. Romans, chapter 1, verses 21, 28, and 29. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Romans, chapter 1, verse 29. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Luke, chapter 17, verses 26 through 27. Genesis, chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. Genesis, chapter 18, verse 20. 1 Thessalonians, I think I gave you this one a little earlier, but I'll give it again because I added an additional verse. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. Exodus, chapter 23, verse 22. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verse 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 20. 1 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 15. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 18. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 9 through 10. Daniel, chapter 8, verse 23. Revelation chapter 13, Acts chapter 5 verse 29, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17, and Revelation chapter 9
slower, please.
Verse 11. The scriptures will be placed in the chat room tonight, and I thank you for listening. Again, our call-in number is area code 805-292-0300, and press 1 to speak with us. We would also like to tell you that, as Pastor Pat has said earlier, that the broadcast is being aired and recast not just twice a week now, but
six times a week.
Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern Daylight Time in the United States, Friday at 7:30 in the United States Eastern Daylight Time at 7:30, Saturday nights at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday evening at 7:30 p.m. at Eastern Daylight Time in the United States of America.
And Dr. Sabrina, I'm going to paste some of them up there at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to hit the West Coast.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So now you have multiple opportunities to recast the broadcast and to listen to it and to share it with friends and family and loved ones and those that you meet and you begin to minister to them the word of the Lord. So we would like for you to take advantage of this great opportunity that the Lord has given us, so that the word may get out, that people may be edified, that people may be brought to the Lord, that saints may be strengthened in the truth of God's word, that many of their questions may be answered, that people may be healed, free, and delivered in Jesus' name. We thank you for calling in tonight with your prayer requests. We will readily receive them and pray according to the will of God as he instructs us. And we thank you for joining us at our worship service, our Wednesday worship service. This is a church. This is a worship service. Someone asked last week, they were saying they were having a hard time finding a church in their area. Well, when you come to us at Blog Talk with Dr. Pat Holliday, biweekly and now several times a week, you have come to a church service. This is a worship service. We have announcements. We have the message of the word, the ministry of the word. We have prayer and deliverance. We have offerings. The offering is taken up at www.miracleinternetchurch.com. And we thank you for those of you who support us financially in this ministry effort. We give praise and glory to God for his bounty and his blessings to us and to you, that they may rebound to you. And we thank you, Father, for the fruit of righteousness that is the gift and the outworking of the giving of the saints in Jesus' name. Yes, we believe in tithes and offerings, and we believe in honoring God. The Bible says that when we give, we honor God. When we give alms to the poor, when we give tithes and offerings to the work of God, we give glory and honor to God. And we believe in that. The scriptures back it up. So we thank you for your steadfastness, for your weekly participation, for your prayers and intercession for this ministry, and for the ministers. We pray for you, and we pray that you continue to come up and invite others to join you. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Sabrina. I'm going to go and talk. I'm on 661 if you turn your speaker down. I see 610, but I'm staying on 61. Marshall? Okay, I'll go to 610. 610, you're on the air.
Hi there, Pat.
Hi there, Pat.
There it is, Marshall. Yay.
Glad to hear from you.
Marshall, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. Well, what do you have to say to us tonight before we go to the phones?
Well, many years ago, I took a trip to Israel. And the man said he did dissension, who was leading this trip. He seemed to be a believer, and I don't know his heart. But in the letter, you said you had to sign on to say, you know, you wouldn't cause any dissension. And I simply said I would follow him as long as he's following Jesus. I thought that was safe ground. And I say that all along. I have to search the scriptures daily. I have to be Berean. I don't claim to have it all figured out. I know that different people are given different gifts by the Holy Spirit. Some people have more discernment. I think Pat has been given quite a gift of discernment by the Holy Spirit. But I think, you know, it needs to be in balance with the scriptures, and I don't claim to have it all figured out. That's all. I know that there's a number of scriptures that, for example, and I think it's a matter of semantics. I don't know if I believe in so-called replacement theology, that the church, quote-unquote, replaces Israel. I think we're grafted into Israel, and it says, you know, that there's the root, and if the branches should say, you know, I'm above the root, or I forget where that is right now, you have to be careful what you say. And even in the scriptures, I think you were quoting in Romans 11, Paul says, "Hath God cast away his people? God forbid." In Romans 11:1, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And then you go down to verse 5. At this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We're all saved the same way, by faith in the blood of Jesus. You're not saved because you're Jewish. That doesn't count. But God does remember his promises to Father Abraham and his true bloodline descendants. And I think Father God is faithful. He hasn't forgotten his covenant. He is faithful. He always keeps his word. He esteems his word above all his name. But even in the old covenant, in wherever it is, in Jeremiah 31, starting around verse 31, it talks about the new covenant. And even you quoted the scripture that the Jewish people are going to see him and they're going to mourn for him as one that would weep for his firstborn. So I don't think there's any question that there's still a few real Jews who are going to really, and many have converted, obviously not humongous numbers, but there are some true Jews, as far as I know, they're true, who knows, but they're people of all different walks. You know, even it says that in the book of Revelation, people from every tribe, it says, that believe in Jesus. So whether they're Palestinians or Jews, black or white, northern or southerner, it doesn't make any difference at all as long as they are born again. Amen?
Well, see, the interesting thing about it is, I can't pull his name out. You can find it up on Texie Mars's website. He wrote a book about the DNA of the Jewish race. He was born over in Israel, or he was in Israel. He was educated over in our eastern schools up north where the elite go. And he decided he was going to track the DNA of his people because he wanted to know where he came from. And he ended up that more than 98-99% of the Jews in the world are not of the blood of Abraham. And he said that he found out that he wasn't a real Jew. And but there's a remnant, as you just described, of the blood of Abraham. But we must remember that the Palestinians, what he said, this man, he was a scientist, he said there is more Abrahamic blood in the Palestinians than are of the most of the Jews over there in Israel. And so you've got this situation because American Christians are so improperly taught the Word of God that they're not taught that the Palestinians could be Jesus's blood brothers, because you remember whenever they were delivered, Sarah had, you know, there were those two kids, and Sarah had Abraham, but then we had Ishmael. And so that gave two nations that came out of Abraham. So why is it that Christians are so untaught that they just rave and rant about the Jews, but they're the other part of Abraham's seed? And if you remember, God gave her a promise too. We don't ever think about them. And they are the ones that are Christians over in that part of the world. So I think that we just need to readjust our thinking and understand that according to being God's chosen people, that God's chosen people are believers in God. That, I mean, Abraham, the Bible says he came from a pagan heathen country before God delivered him out. So when he became a believer, that's what made him a chosen person. That's what made the people that followed him chosen people, is belief in God. Same thing as with us.
Right.
That's how I see it anyway. Brother Marshall?
So, I mean, if everybody has to be born again. You have to have faith in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. If you don't, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't make any difference where they're from Nigeria or New Zealand. It doesn't make any difference. If they don't believe in the blood of Jesus, you can't be saved.
That's right.
That's good points. Gives people things to think about and investigate. Well, what else do you have before we go to the phones? That number, by the way, is 805-292-0300, and then you dial 1 if you want prayer or you want to give a testimony. Do you have anything else you want to say, Brother Marshall, before we pray for the people?
Well, I do believe in what you call the rapture or the great catching away, as the Bible talks about it, I think. The question is when does it happen? And I can't just go by, you know, God's going to keep his people from suffering because, you know, you've already talked about how many Christians are being beheaded and tortured. And, you know, there's a lot of people. There was a, who was that lady? Corrie ten Boom. She had an article online some years back, at least somebody put it online from her, that, you know, how her sister went through the torturing in the concentration camp and died. I think her name was Betsy. And she said that she believes that if there's a catch in a way, it does not preclude being tempted and tortured or whatever. There's even a scripture in the book of Revelation, and it talks about the saints that are saying, "How long, O Lord, faithful and true, before thou judgest those who, you know, are judgest those that have slain us, that, you know, our blood." And he said, you know, be patient until those that are slain, such as you are, shall be added to the fold. And then, you know, then you'll see it's all, you know, it's all going to work out. It's just that they're waiting patiently, even though they were martyrs for the faith. And, you know, he told them to be patient, you know, that it's going to work out. But he said that there are others that are going to have to be beheaded, such as they are. And that, you know, it's not exactly the most encouraging scripture, but it's in there. And it says that all those that will live godly will suffer persecution. And it says we're not above our head. I know it's in Luke, and it's another one of the, we're not above our head. And Jesus was tempted in every point such as we are, yet without sin. You know, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So I think it's not impossible that a Christian might suffer a little bit somewhere along the line before they're snatched out of here. And I don't think people should be, you know, just expecting that they're going to be whisked away and everything's going to be hunky-dory because, you know, there may have been a few Christians that suffered when Katrina came through and other things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had the Columbine massacre where the school, where the students stood up and they were shot dead as soon as they said that yes, we believe in Jesus Christ and that we're Christians.
Well, you know, Marshall, the way, remember I told you the Bible teacher that I had some 35 years ago, and stuff that he told us back then are coming to pass now, and things that I taught back in the 80s and the 90s are coming to pass now. But now, this is the way they saw it back then, and this is before as much pollution has come as is there now. What they said was that Matthew 24, Jesus says, perilous times shall come before. And so they believed that there was a time of sorrows, a time of perilous times where great upheavals, which we're certainly living in now, would come. But he said, the way he saw it, and I kind of see it after years of studying it this way too, is he believed that there's two messages in the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. And one of the messages is shot to the church. The other message is shot to the Jewish people that are alive during this time. And what he said was that the Jew had rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And so the false prophet is the one that they are going to receive and that they have received him, and that is their judgment. He said that the Jesus Christ, of course, we have received, and he is our deliverance. But I don't think that he ever taught that there wouldn't be any sufferings. But what he said about the scripture that you described, where the souls are under the altar and they're saying how much longer, what he believed was those were the Christians that fell away, and many of them, after the rapture occurs, remembers those teachings that they received, and they say it is true, and they will have to give their lives in order to make it on through. And you certainly do see at the there's three teachings on the rapture. One is the group that believes in pre-rapture. I would describe myself as the pre-rapture person. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that Christians may have to suffer during the perilous times, because more than 100 million Christians have been killed since communism made its face to the world the first time. So I'm probably pre-tribulation, because I believe that tribulation is punishment to the Jew at their choice of rejecting Jesus and receiving a false prophet. So then there's others that teach mid-tribulation, and that's where they believe those souls come from. And then there's others that believe in tribulation at the very end, rapture at the very end of the tribulation period. I have personally never rejected anybody because of which of those beliefs they believe. I don't think it's going to keep us out of heaven. I don't think it's going to get us in heaven. I think we get in heaven because we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us. But I think that this day and time, that what they are being told in many of your churches, and I certainly see it when I look up on the, I post the show and I'm doing articles and doing research up on the internet, I see that the people that do not believe in the rapture at all, they are calling people that believe in the rapture false prophets and prophetesses. There was a man that posted up on, I have a group up there that teach each other, we have discussions, and he said, anybody that believes in the rapture of the church is going to hell. Well, it's like the woman, there's one of the women judges that said, she was a born-again Jew, and she made a statement, anybody that's against Israel and the Jew is going to hell. And see, we don't go to hell for those reasons. We go to hell because we've rejected the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So these things, the reason that I teach on them is, first place, people today don't know much about it, but also I teach on it so that people will go and start looking into these things so that they might know. And if they decide, well, I believe that it's going to be mid-tribulation, I would not reject them. I would not reject the end time. But what I do reject is when the scriptures are very uniquely clear that there will be a catching away, for somebody to come and say, you're going to hell because you believe that, I will stand against those kind of things. You see what I'm saying?
You sure. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. But, it's just like you and I. We have discussions all the time. Not as much as we used to, because we got Blog Talk. But we used to discuss things on the phone for hours before we ever created the Blog Talk radio show. And, there were many times that I tell you things and you would say, well, no, Pat, I respect you and all, but I just don't know that I believe that, you know. Particularly before the Lord took the blinders off concerning the falling away. Remember all of that?
I do.
And then he opened your eyes and you said, hey, wait, something is happening here. And so that's what Blog Talk is to teach people. And, you know, it's just like a lot of times when I'm up here, I'm looking at notes. But then there's other times that I'm up here and I'm speaking from memory. And I don't want to speak from memory if I'm talking about serious things. But I'll tell you now, I'm speaking from memory here. That means you need to go and check this out, you know, scripturally. So, and you do the same thing. There's times when you say, well, I don't have the address on that, but, and from memory, you'll cite something. It says Dr. Sabrina. But when we warn you like that, that we're talking from memory, that means if it isn't clear to you, go look up the scripture, right?
Right.
So, the number up here is, I guess people are real interested in our subject matter tonight, because we've got a couple of calls, but not many. So if you want to call, now's the time for you to pick up the phone and call, dial one, because if you don't have one, we're not going to pick up the phone. We got a lot of calls up on the board, so I'm going to take the first call. Let's see, 361, you're on the air.
361?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Hi, this is Jennifer. My name is Jennifer. I had called a couple of weeks ago, and I'm the girl with the husband that has the schizophrenia.
Yes,
ma'am. I would like, I don't know if you remember me.
Yes,
we do.
Okay. I had an interesting occurrence happen on May 1. I come to find out that all of a sudden I had a court date that was not ever foreknown to me, was never disclosed to me for my final court hearing date. So I called the courts and said that I was not notified of that and begged God to stop the divorce proceeding that day. And luckily my prayers were answered because the court refused to finalize the court hearing date or to finalize the divorce. They told my husband that he needed to go back and do some extra stuff, that they would not hear his case. So that brings us to today. I'm still been praying and praying and praying for the Lord to intercede into my marriage, and I still have now a court date on the 29th for final court hearing date. So I'm calling asking for prayers and blessings to stop the divorce. My husband has had a change of heart. I have seen in the last day or two, he has corresponded with me on feeling very sorry for the things that he has done. There's a huge level of shift in his mind into a state of remorse and a state of depression. And so I really could use the prayers to help my husband, like you were saying earlier, remove the blinders.
Okay, Marshall?
Well, Father, you've heard our sister's request, and we come before you in agreement, according to Matthew 18:19, Father. And we ask for your guidance by your Holy Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. God, Teresa and her husband, and all of us into all truth, help us, Father. We ask you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit, Father God, to guide not only Teresa but her husband in the way that you want, as well as each of us, and to deliver them. We know that you've given Teresa the ministry of reconciliation.
And Jennifer.
Oh, is it Jennifer? I'm sorry. I thought you said Teresa.
That's
I'm
okay.
Sorry. But you know, Lord. Give Jennifer, you've given her the ministry of reconciliation, Father God. So we ask that be fulfilled by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that what God is, assuming that you put this marriage together, Lord, and I don't know the origins of it and I don't know all the details, but I know you hate divorce. You have it abundantly clear in your word. You're not in favor of that whatsoever. And even if a believer is married to an unbeliever, if the unbeliever is pleased to remain married, that the believer is supposed to be at peace and to remain there. So, Father, we ask you to work out every detail that this can be reconciled in the way that you want to your honor and glory. And you talk in your scripture in Corinthians about how a believing spouse, who knows, you know, oh, wife, if you'll save your husband, or oh, husband, if you'll save your wife. So we know that that's your heart's desire, Father God, is that they be one, because this is a great mystery, because you're speaking concerning Christ and the church. And just as we're made one with Jesus, the husband and the wife are made one as a symbol and an emblem of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the great mystery and the awesome unity that you give us in joining in with Jesus Christ, Father. We ask that that be manifest in this couple's life in the way that you want. And we ask for your favor and your grace, Father God, not because we deserve it, but for the Lord's sake, because Jesus paid the full price. He paid the price for peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He took all of our punishments. So we ask you to intercede, Father God, and intervene in the way that you want to bring reconciliation to this marriage, and that it will be a great testimony in Jesus' name. And Father, we bind up every ungodly spirit seeking to break up this marriage in Jesus' name. Every spirit of contention, every spirit of antichrist, every spirit of unloving, every spirit of rejection, every spirit of depression, oppression, discouragement, we bind every ungodly spirit in Jesus' name as seated in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father, to pour your oil of gladness, that anointing, Father God, that you poured on the Lord Jesus, that same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that quickens our mortal bodies, to quicken this marriage in Jesus' name. That, because you said, that which you put together, let not man put asunder. So help it to be bound together in the way that you want in Jesus' name. And we ask you to bring about this, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it's funny that you brought up Matthew 18:19, because that is my husband's name.
His name is Matthew?
Yes.
Okay, that's a wonderful name. It
so
is.
So thank you for your blessings. I appreciate all of you, and I will be listening.
Thank you.
To all of your blog talk. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Brother Marshall, we have three prayer requests. Let me know when you're ready.
Ready.
Okay. We have a sister who has lumps in her breast and is going for a test on Friday.
Okay.
We have another sister who is a minister of the gospel. We need to pray for her emotions. She's experiencing a very long physical battle and other things.
All right.
We're praying for all of the saints that attend the church and come up on Blog Talk that experience hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
We are praying for one of the brothers that regularly listens to the Blog Talk worship service, and we're praying for his personal battles and his spiritual battles. He lives on the East Coast.
All right.
We're praying for a lady that had to be rushed to the emergency room this evening, and they thought perhaps she had an infection where she'd been operated on.
She does.
So that's what we're praying about. They did release her to go home.
So she did have surgery?
Yes, she's had surgery, and she's in the recovery period.
Right.
And she had to go back to the hospital this evening because of an infection where the stitches were, and they released her.
Right.
And we are praying for a brother who is having battles with witchcraft and with water spirits, with marine spirits, with sexual situations and computer situations. We're praying for his strengthening and deliverance in the Lord. Are you ready?
Yep.
And we have two sisters in the Lord. They are both ministers. And we are praying for their financial success in the Lord in their ministry. All right, and we're praying for another brother in the Lord. He is a minister of the gospel, and he works for IBM. He's under a lot of stress and pressure and tension. He's trying to do a lot of things. He has his responsibility at his profession, his responsibility in his family, and his ministerial responsibilities. All right.
Yep.
All righty, brother. And we are thanking the Lord for dropping the gas prices and ask him to continue to drop the gas prices. Amen.
Okay. You know, it came out this week. You know, we've been praying about Russia and the wars and all that stuff. It came out this week that the vice president's son is going to head up a over there where the oil wells are. And that's what all of this stuff is about. It's a fight about the oil wells over in Russia off the coast. And, you know, the teapot dummies were probably the disgrace of the presidency since the beginning. But it makes it look like a little fairyland upside what's going on now. We've got the president of the Senate putting on a company, him and his son, that are taking the land away from the cattle people that have had hundreds of years family history on those lands. And they want they're going to put up windmills, and so we've got graft going on just all over the place in Washington D.C., coming right out of the White House down into the Congress and the Senate. So we need to pray that God will arrest these people. This is just getting to the point of being ridiculous, and so that's one thing. And then after, do you want to play at the end and take the rest of the phone calls?
Which?
Okay, let's take the phone calls that are up here. And you've got that list, and we'll play at the end. We've got 347, you're on the air.
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Cassia. I have a simple request. For the past couple of days.
Can you understand her? Mm-hmm. I can't understand you. Do you have your speaker system off? Hello?
She might be on her phone. The reception might be bad.
Hello? I'll come back to you, Kasia. We can't understand you or hear you now. Okay. Okay. 209, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Pat. This is Irene. How are you all doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Standing in the strength of the Lord, But I wanted to comment and give a report of praise to the Lord, because what you're saying and what you're teaching on the end time and all the, actually every one of your programs have been absolutely very, very truthful and anointed for the spiritual growth and understanding of the word. But what I wanted to mention is that, you know, even that we are, I agree, in the end time, and there are so many things you probably are aware of it going on about it and making it reality of the scriptures and the reality of the times. What I wanted to say to you is that even in the middle of this, the reality of the supernatural intervention of God is so real. And to experience that is, even after the warfare, is just such a blessing, because the reality of knowing the living God is just amazing to even stand in the middle of whatever is going on, because anything else is so small comparing to his greatness. You know what I mean? I have seen miracles in my life of things that I know it was intervention of God completely, and even things that I didn't see and then that I saw it. Like even today, we were looking for some special identity card that we had, and my husband was telling me that where did I put him? I told him where I put him. They were not there. We look for them, I look for them, and every little part of that drawer and everywhere else, and I couldn't find them. And then, like in the few hours later, I opened the same drawer, and the cards were on the very top, right, looking at me. And I said, oh, he probably found them and put them here. So I asked him, I said, well, I'm glad you found the cards. And he said, what cards? I said, the ones we were looking for. Oh, I never did find them. I said, well, they're here. Look at them. And he said, but I look at them three times, and I look everywhere, and they were not there. And I just said, well, we don't have to understand. We don't have to thank God for it. And I didn't want to discuss with him, because there are certain areas that I know at this time I can do. But I give praise to the Lord, and I remember many times like that, things that I knew I lost. And then suddenly they would be just in front of me, just in front of my eyes. And I'm mentioning this because God is so awesome, and he can do so much. He can make things to be available to us in any situation. So it doesn't really matter that much to focus, like many people are, in the Antichrist. It's to focus in the power of the living God right now where we are. And also to have the faith in him, that is just, that's another thing that is my struggle. And that's the prayer request, is that why sometimes it's so hard for me to acknowledge God and his power in my life and be, you know, kind of desperate about, especially about my family that needs to be saved, about situation in relationship and other things. How come my faith is not there when I need it for one thing, and then is there when I let it just there happen, and the Lord is so faithful and so good? Can you pray for that for me?
Brother Marshall, you got a word for her and what to do about this?
You know, Irene, over in 2 Corinthians 10, I think it's around verse 5. It says we're supposed to hold every thought captive, you know, and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do that. I bind every spirit of vain imagination, because our battle, and the battle in believing, is between our ears. It's you know, whose report will you believe? There's that song, you know. And it says, I will believe the report of the Lord. Well, that's the battle. And the enemy, he has spirits assigned to Christians to try and trip us up. That's what he doesn't want us to believe, because if we ask in prayer believing and don't waver at all, then it's absolutely got to come to pass. Okay, so when we have that childlike faith, he knows that he's defeated. I mean, he already knows he's defeated. He probably doesn't want to admit it, but he knows the end of the book. He knows where he's going in Revelation 20 or wherever it is, into the lake of fire. So he knows his end. But he wants company. Misery loves company. He's the most fearful being that there's ever been. He needs one of the most miserable beings, if not the most miserable, and he wants a lot of company. And so that's the battle. And the Lord tells us one of the in Matthew 17, when the disciples said, "Why could we not cast out this spirit?" You know, right after Jesus was revealed to three of his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they came down, and there was a man there with his son who had epilepsy. You know, and they said,
"I remember that one."
And so, the disciples came to Jesus after Jesus cast it out. You know, "How long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him to me." And he cast it out, and it left him. So, you know, but it wasn't the dumb and deaf spirit that could only be cast out with prayer and fasting. It's the doubt and unbelief of the disciples. That's why he encourages us to pray and fast, because when you realize, hey, you know, I made it 24 hours without solid food, and the Lord sustained me. Hey, I made it 3 days without solid food. Hey, I made it a week without solid food, or whatever it was, or I only had a little crumb to have communion here and there, or whatever it was. You know, I mean, however people pray and fast, it does build your faith. After the first 3 days of fasting, the body sort of hits a plateau, and then it's not such a struggle, provided you're not doing strenuous manual labor or whatever. You're not, you know, digging ditches and
hauling
water.
Yeah, I know that. I want to do that. It's very difficult, Marshall, for me, because I get kind of very lightheaded, and but it's amazing because I did fast 21 days one time because of this wrong ministry that I was involved with it, and I could do it. But now it's like more difficult for a few days.
Each person has a different. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying it's in the book. That's all I'm saying. He offers that. And, you know, I could never have fasted until I went through some deliverance and got some healing myself. He sent his word and healed me, because I used to have hypoglycemia. I couldn't even go a few hours without constantly having a few crackers or something to keep my blood sugar up, because I would get lightheaded and all the rest of it. So the Lord had to do some healing for me to start with before I could even start to think about doing it. So people, you know, some people are diabetics. They can't do it like that. Everybody's in a different place, and the Lord knows each person's heart. I'm just trying to say that for me, the most important scripture is the one in 2 Corinthians 10, wherever it is, 5. You need to hold every thought captive. If you get a thought that says, "Well, I don't know, it's not going to happen for you, and maybe it happened for everybody else, but it's not," you know, say, "Well, wait a minute, where's this thought coming from?"
Yeah,
because, you know, we get thoughts in the spirit realm. You know, if you read Matthew chapter 16, Jesus, you know, asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And some say you're the prophet, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're whatever. So that was what people thought. And then Father God gave Peter revelation, a divine download, and he said, you know, and Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." When Peter said, "You're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God," he said, "This was revealed to you by my Father which is in heaven." And then a couple of verses later, when Jesus said he was going to have to suffer and die, and then Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord, to have to do this."
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
Remember that?
And also, you know, when I was reading that scripture, basically that's the revelation for salvation, because if anybody that in my family, like I was mentioning, that are not saved today is because they don't have the revelation who Jesus is. Really, they don't. They just don't know. And that the Father has to reveal it to them by drawing them by that truth. So I know that. I just would like to, I like to have even the ability, honestly, to say, "The Lord, help my unbelief in some areas." Because I think that when the Father said that to the Lord, when you know, was trying to help that the apostles were trying to help that child to be delivered and they couldn't, he said, he asked him, he said, "Well, I believe, but I don't know how much I believe. You know what I'm saying? And there
yes, I
areas
do.
That's so hard. It's so hard because the sensual reality around me and the things that come. And actually, the Lord have given me now discernment. I can almost see when somebody is talking, the person is talking, or the enemy is talking. It's almost like, oh my God, what I'm going to do now? I know this is not this person. And I'm just kind of overwhelmed here, and I don't know what to do next. But nevertheless, I do believe that fasting and prayer, of course prayer, but fasting also is necessary. So any prayer on that area, I do accept with gratitude. Thank you so much.
Sister Irene, this is Dr. Sabrina.
I know, I recognize your voice.
The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And when you That's know that true. It's, and when you know that it's a spirit and not the person talking, you already know how to bind according to Matthew 18:18, don't
amen,
you?
Amen to that.
And you know that is the thing to do, right? Amen.
Right.
You already know this. So there's no such thing as being overwhelmed because you've already been armed. You've been coming up on Blog Talk for some time now. You know what to do. The thing is, what you need to do is to do what you know to do. Amen? If you need
yes.
more faith, you should pray and ask the Lord to increase your faith. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So go ahead, Amen. Sister, and pray and ask the Lord for faith, and we will agree with you.
Okay. Do you want me to do it now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Lord Jesus, I know that faith, even as a mustard seed, is great in your sight. And I ask you, Lord, that faith that you have given me will increase as I put to work what I have. And I know that you will back me up. But I thank you for the strength and the anointing and the wisdom to do what you call me to do in the name of Jesus, so my faith will increase. And you have mentioned in your word that there are different kinds of faith, that little faith, that great faith. And I ask you, Father, that as I walk in obedience to you, my faith will be great and you will be pleased, because without faith, it's impossible to please you, Lord. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
Father,
Amen.
You heard the prayer of our sister, Father. And we thank you that the Bible declares, Father, that the Lord Jesus is the author and the developer and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, Father, that you've dealt to every man, you've given to every man the measure of faith to believe. Father, the Bible says that some even have the gift of faith. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that the Bible says we can pray and ask you in Luke to increase our faith and to help us help our places where we don't believe you. We thank you, Father, that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and our sister comes up regularly to hear the word of God. We thank you, Father, that we know that these things have been written aforetime that we might believe. We thank you, Father, as we hear the gospel, faith is unctioned in us and we choose to believe. You know, believing, as Thomas learned, Father, is an act of the will. We choose to believe you. We choose to believe your word. The Bible says that the scriptures were written that through them we might have hope. So, Father, we thank you that the word is profited when we mix it with our faith, when we choose to believe it. And the Bible says, Father, that when we hear the word with a good heart, when we keep it and obey the word, it brings forth fruit. So, Father, we pray these scriptures over our sister And we thank you not only for her faith, but for the faith of all of those that are participating in this worship service this evening, that our faith will increase and that our faith will please you. It will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And as we trust you, as we obey you, as we fill ourselves with the word and choose to obey the word and choose to act on the word, our faith will be strengthened and increased. We thank you, Father, that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in an unknown language, we are edified and built up on our most holy faith. So, Father, we thank you that you will bring your word to our sister's remembrance. Whatever you have said in the word concerning her situation when she is confronted with it. Father, we thank you that our sister will learn to close her mouth and to listen to your voice inside her, speaking to her, saying to do this, do that, or do nothing. We thank you, Lord God, that she learns to trust the unction of the Holy Spirit in her, Father. That she learns, Lord God, to listen and obey the promptings of God the Holy Spirit, Father. We give you praise, glory, and honor as her faith is developed and the rest of us as our faith is developed. We thank you, Father, for increasing our confidence in your holy word. We thank you, Father, that the scriptures are God-breathed. They are God-breathed, and we can trust you. The Bible says that we don't live by natural elements alone, by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we live our lives every day, by the words that come from your mouth. Those words, Father, are in the Bible. They are here to be read and to be received in our hearts. The Bible says that we're supposed to put those words down in our heart that we might not sin against you. So, Father, we thank you for the process of meditation upon the scriptures and for planting those words down in our hearts, that when the situation arises, the word will arise. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the evil one. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, for all that you will do. And we thank you, Father, for this prayer being fulfilled in the lives of the believers that come up on this broadcast and on this and participate in this worship service. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We thank you, Father, for giving us, Lord God, not only the will, but the strategy and the plan to fast. We thank you, Father, for releasing the grace to fast to everyone who desires it that is a part of this worship service. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Father, it is by your grace and by your word that you tell us when to wait because you are healing us. And you also tell us when we have a release to fast. We thank you and we give you praise, Father, for the gift and for the grace to fast and to seek your face, Father. We thank you for the ability to hear from you directly, Father, through your word and by the voice of the Lord in Jesus' name. We release this grace into the people that desire to receive from you, Father, and not from another spirit. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, that you love your children and that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. And we thank you, Father, for our sister, and we release blessings to her now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise
you. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, little sister, we'll talk to you again soon. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for calling in to encourage us with your praise report.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless you. 111, you're on the air. Hello. Okay, 111 is not coming up. Okie dokie. 347.
347, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, the line got cut. part of. I did have a praise report. I was taking some medication, and I got very weak. But then for the last couple of days, the Lord has really given me a lot of strength, and I am able to pray and worship God as I used to formerly do. And I just want to give glory to Him. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We bless God.
And I'm also praying for the Lord to heal me of all infirmities that caused me to be weak and feeble. Amen.
Don't forget to take communion every day.
I have started doing that. I stopped doing it, but I started doing
it. All right.
For Cassia, Brother Marshall.
Thank you, Lord. We praise you for what you've already done for Cassia. We thank you, Lord, for continuing your work in her and giving her that hunger and the thirst for righteousness. You said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We thank you for Christ in Cassia, the hope of glory, Christ in each one of us. We thank you for sending your good spirit to guide her and to remind her of what you've said, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. You said in your word, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. This isn't a one-shot deal. This is a moment by moment drawing near to God. You said draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. And it says over in Ephesians 2:13, we're made nigh by the blood. So we thank you for your blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for making a way where there seemed to be no way. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening our sister. And we thank you for your promise in the end of the Gospel of Mark. You said, if we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us, so we cancel all negative side effects of all medications for any believer who's currently or even thinking of taking any kind of a medication of any kind, whether it be prescription or over-the-counter. And we cancel all ungodly spirits, assignments, pharmakia, sorcery, and witchcraft are all bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name. And, Father, we ask you to strengthen our sister especially and lead her in the way you want her to go, Father, in Jesus' name. Because you said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, the word of God says, but he, that is the Lord Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace, that brings us shalom, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With that intimate, as we are bruised together with him, as we are striped together with Jesus, as we reckon ourselves dead to all sins, dead to doubt and unbelief, dead to murmuring and complaining, dead to every sin, dead to pride, rebellion, all those nasty things, as we reckon ourselves dead to every sin, and we do, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, we ask you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that quickens or makes alive our mortal bodies. We know we are mortal, but yet you come to dwell in us, and that's the mystery, Christ in us. So we thank you for that anointing in Cassia and each one of us. We ask you to strengthen our sister abundantly, Father, and lead her in the way you want her to go by your good spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. He withheld not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? So give Cassia all that she needs, Father, we ask, to bring you honor and glory and the Lord Jesus honor and glory by the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for calling, Cassia. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Well, let's take 615. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Pat. This is Teresa. Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Marshall.
How are you?
Hello.
I'm good. I just wanted to call in because you all prayed for me last week. Marshall prayed for me, and my cold, sinus, whatever this is so much better. It's just really awesome. I just give the Lord Jesus praise for you all and your ministry and how he works through you. I have felt a definite difference in some of the things that were really bothering me as far as some emotional problems that I was having. And I just know that the Lord delivered me from such whatever spirits those were, some spirits of fear and rejection. And a lot of things that you called out. And I just want to say to the folks that are listening, that maybe the folks that have not called in ever, just don't let fear keep you from calling in, because there's real freedom in Jesus. And you just got to just take that step and just call in. I know there's a lot of people that listen. And for some reason, maybe they're not calling in, but I'm just calling to encourage you all tonight to please just make the step and get out there and let Jesus do what he does to heal his sheep, because he cares. And you all, Dr. Pat and Sabrina and Marshall, are just so anointed to do what you're doing. And it's just so, every time I'm listening to any of your programs, I'm always learning something. And the Lord is just teaching so much to us. And I just thank you so much for everything that you do.
Well, thank you, sister, for calling. God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for your word of encouragement and exhortation to those who are fearful of calling in. You know, we know that there are people out there that listen to this radio broadcast and worship service that need deliverance, that are afraid to call in. They're afraid of their sins being exposed, but I look at it this way. At the time that you did whatever you did, you weren't afraid then. Don't be afraid of God delivering you now. There's no reason to hold on to those things. In the Bible, the Lord says that if it's your arm or your hand or whatever it is that's causing you to sin, it's better to cut that off than to go into eternal life maimed than to go into hell holding on to it. In other words, what he's saying to you, even no matter how close it is to you, let the sin go. Get delivered. Because if you don't, it'll drag you into hell versus you going free from it and going into eternal life. You know, no one knows the exact minute or hour or day that the Lord will come. So we should be planning to be ready at every moment, at every given moment, no matter when it is. Right now, for instance, no one knows the exact moment that the Lord will return. So why take the chance that you might be left simply because you didn't avail yourself to the ministry that he prepared for you? Why take the chance that you might miss eternity with Jesus simply because you allowed yourself to succumb to fear? Why take the chance that you might not ever see the loved ones that are on the other side with Jesus simply because you allowed yourself to cower down in fear? That's not the way to respond. There is a better way. And we are here. We are available to you. There is no sin that's so terrible and so bad that we can't pray for you, you see? We pray as the Lord gives us unction, as the Lord gives us the prayers. That's how we pray for you. And as the Lord shows us what to pray, that's what we do. We do it in his name and to his glory and to his honor. And there are sins that people have confessed to us that have never come up on this particular broadcast that are really, I guess, in the average person's mind are pretty bad. But the Bible says to the uttermost, Jesus saves. And so there's no reason to hold on to what you think is actually extra large or extra bad, or even if you don't think it's important enough to confess. The Bible encourages us to confess our sins that we might pray for one another, that we might be healed. And we know that there are people listening even now that need healing in their emotions, healing in their relationships, healing in every area and aspect of their lives, but they hold back and they don't call in. But that's not the will of God. The Bible says that if we love Jesus, we obey him. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we encourage you to call in. We encourage you to receive prayer. We encourage you to receive the ministry of deliverance and healing and miracles. We encourage you to receive grace from God. Receive grace while we're in the dispensation of grace. Because once that door closes, that opportunity is not there. So we encourage you to humble yourself to check yourself, to tell yourself, self, you can do better than this. Self, she's right. Self, you know you should have called in already. And go ahead and call us. Our number again is area code 805-292-0300. Press 1 that we might see your hand, and we'll respond to your call in Jesus' name. Amen?
That's right, Dr. Sabrina. I remember many years ago wanting to call in to a radio show, and I was really scared to do it. So that's just the ploy of the devil to keep you from calling in and getting help.
Amen.
Well, we have some more calls. Thank you for calling, sis. God bless.
Thanks.
Okay. 770, you're on the air.
I probably was the person or whatever that Sabrina was talking about, scared to call in or, you know, not calling in because of fear or whatever and holding on to stuff. So,
it hurt, right?
I didn't hear you.
I said it doesn't hurt.
No, ma'am. So I'm just calling in for prayer and deliverance.
What can we pray for?
I've just got through praying that I would be obedient to God, and you know, it's been pulling on me all week to call in and listen to the show, even last Friday and last Wednesday, and I just didn't do it because I just, you know, wanted to be. To stay where I was in my sin. And, you know, I just need to get back on track.
Okay. You know, all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you, and he will.
I don't know if that's, I mean, I'm not saying that. The problem is I do that, and then I go back.
Okay. Maybe you need deliverance. What kind of a sin is it that you go back to?
Just fornication, being around the wrong people, you know, just not where I need to be at all.
Okay. Well, you know, you can't play both sides of the string. So really and truthfully, you have to make a decision. Now, if you follow Jesus, Jesus says that he is made perfect in our weakness. And so I want you to pray, and we're going to ask God to help you, and you need to disconnect yourself from your friends. Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I want you to say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I'm very weak.
And I'm very weak.
Tonight, I ask you to forgive me.
Tonight, I ask you to forgive me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
And come and live in my heart.
And come and live in my heart.
And be my personal Savior.
And be my personal Savior.
Give me strength, Lord Jesus.
Give me strength, Lord Jesus.
To overcome.
To overcome.
Because I repent.
I repent.
And I thank you that you.
And I thank you that you.
Are coming to live in my heart right now.
Are coming to live in my heart right now.
And separate me.
And separate me
from the kingdom of darkness.
From the kingdom of darkness.
And place me into your kingdom.
And place me into your kingdom.
And now I want you to say, Lord.
Lord.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To bind all of the spirits of rebellion.
To bind all the spirits of rebellion.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
Fornication.
Fornication.
Do you take drugs?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
How about drugs and alcohol?
Find all the spirits of drugs and alcohol.
And every spirit.
And every spirit.
That's drawing me.
That's drawing me.
Away from you.
Away from you.
King David said.
King David said.
Create in me.
Create in me a clean heart.
A clean heart.
And renew me a right spirit.
Now, I take authority over all of those spirits in you, and I command every one of them to loose you right now. Come out. Come out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You have no authority. You will leave her instantly. You spirit of depression. You come out. Immediately. Nothing can stay. Every devil that possesses you, we disconnect her. Every witchcraft power that's being sent to her, we disconnect her. We break all ley lines. We break all silver cords in Jesus' name. We cage every devil of harassment, unbelief, rebellion. You got something
wrong. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I resign from dating.
I resign from dating.
I have decided that you are my Lord and Savior.
That you are my Lord and Savior.
And that I am committing my life.
And that I'm committing my life.
And my body.
And my body.
To you.
To you.
And to you alone.
And to you alone.
I do not belong to myself.
I do not belong to myself.
Or to any other human.
Or to any other human.
I belong to you, Lord Jesus.
I belong to you, Lord Jesus.
And therefore, Lord. I give up my rights to date.
I give up my rights to date.
And to seek love and affection.
And to seek love and affection.
Outside of the bounds of the scriptures.
Outside of the bounds of the scriptures.
I thank you, Lord. For your keeping power. I allow you, Lord Jesus. To keep me. In the moments of temptation. That try my soul. I depend on you. And I trust you. I resign. From trusting my own reasoning. And my emotions. I choose to trust you instead. Now from my position. In heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I take authority, dominion, and power. Over all the spirits. That have tempted me to sin. That move on my emotions. That blind my mind. That cloud my reasoning. That steal the word of God out of me. And move me from my steadfastness in Christ.
and move me from my steadfastness in Christ.
I bind each of you individually.
I bind each of you individually.
I bind the gatekeepers.
I bind the gatekeepers.
I chain you.
I chain you.
With chains of darkness from Jesus.
With chains of darkness from Jesus.
And I cage you in Jesus' name.
And I cage you in Jesus' name.
Come up and out of me from the root, right now in Jesus'
Come
name.
Come up and out of me from the root in Jesus' name.
Okay, call sister. Go for it. Come out. Everyone. Microscopic and come out of her. Come out of mind-binding spirits, we bind you in Jesus' name. Every spirit that has bound her mind. Bound, caged, and chained. We cut her free from you. With the spirit, those deep-rooted spirits that keep pulling her back in sin and transgression. With the sword of the spirit, we cut off the roots now in Jesus' name. Cut off the fruit in the name of Jesus. We disconnect her from the community in the second heaven, speaking to the demons on the earth. We bind you, chain you. We bind all free-flying spirits in Jesus' name. With the sword of the Spirit, we cut her off from every evil soul tie in the name of Jesus Christ. We uproot each soul tie. We uproot them now in Jesus' name and send them into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. Out, out, out. Every one of you. Every spirit that came in at conception, bound, caged, come up and out in Jesus' name. Every one of those spirits coming down the bloodlines, you come out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Jesus became a curse for her, Galatians 3:13 says. And we thank you, Father, for removing the curses from sister. We remit her sin in Jesus' name. We break open the cage and set the captives free in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We bind the spirits of foolishness in the name of Jesus. The Bible declares that we are to walk in the wisdom of God. We bind all spirits of foolishness, come up and out of her in the name of Jesus. All those demons in the subconscious, Lord, we ask that you lower the gate between the conscious and the subconscious, and we clear you out. Leviathan, we cut off your seven heads, your tail. We descale you, and we break your head in pieces. These hearts come out in Jesus' name. Kundalini spirits, bound, caged, and chained. Every spirit of the traditions of men, we bind you, caged, and chained. Come up and out of her in the name of Jesus. Religious spirits, come out, bound, caged, and chained in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of lust, bound, fornication, bound, caged, and chained. Sexual exploitation, bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Sexual adventurism, bound, caged, and chained. Slavery spirits, bound, caged, and chained. Come out. Slave to sex, come out in Jesus' name. She's not a slave any longer. Bound, caged, and chained. All of you, come out from the root. From the root. All parts, come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Sexual desire, improper sexual desire, inordinate affections, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of her. Come out of her. Asmodeus, come out. Bound, caged, and chained. Asmodeus, come out. And chain the semen of anyone, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, all of you marine spirits, bound, caged, and chained. We dry up your waters now. We dry up the fluids. You may not use her body fluids. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of her, all of you, right now. Masturbation, bound, caged, and chained. Voyeurism, bound, caged, and chained. Dreaming. What do you call those? Spiritual husbands, bound, caged, and chained. You come out in Jesus' name. Succubus, bound, caged, and chained. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Fantasy spirit, bound, caged, and chained. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind, caged, and chained. Everything that she has done and has attempted to do, every work that she has done, Father, we send it back on her sevenfold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. Come out of her. The work of the witch, all witchcraft, all occultism, come out in Jesus' name. All voodoo, all hoodoo, all hex spells, enchantments, bewitchments, bound, caged, and chained. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. Every blood sacrifice, bind it. Come out in Jesus' name. Caged, chained, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit named and not named, come out in Jesus' name.
I did that.
Yeah, that's the black widow.
Mm-hmm. I did that.
Okay.
come out. Every spirit that has not been named, bound, caged, and chained in the name.
What do you call those musical worms that keep playing again and again?
Repeating cycles of sin, bound, caged, and chained, come out in Jesus' name. We break the circle in the name of Jesus Christ. We break the circle again. We divide the power of the demons that are left in the name of Jesus Christ. We divide you, we divide you, we divide your tongues and your ranks and your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Until you become powerless in the name of Jesus Christ. And with the hiss of the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the new covenant, we transfer your power back to Jesus Christ, for all power belongs to God. We break the power of the covens over this life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for putting a hedge of protection around our sister, the wall of fire in the name of Jesus. The work of every coven and every witch we send back against them and the spirit that brought it. Sevenfold with perpetual repetition in Jesus' name. We bind the queen of the coast in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut her off in the name of Jesus Christ. And every spirit, every free-flying spirit, bound, caged, chained, a vortex in the name of Jesus. All silver cords are cut off in the name of Jesus Christ. All ley lines are cut off in the name of Jesus Christ with the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name. The work of any diviner, sorcerer, or divinator, we send back against the spirit that brought it sevenfold with perpetual repetition until destruction comes in Jesus' name. Do you have children?
I do.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we cut the children off just as we have this person with the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name from every ungodly soul tie, every ungodly element and influence in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you succor the children and bring them to yourself. The Bible declares that our children shall be taught of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. We release that scripture into these children now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you for giving them a supernatural prayer life after they've been born again, Father, that they might glorify your name in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for holding them close to yourself, leading them and guiding them and teaching yourself, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind up the demon spirits that came down both sides of the family line that entrapped them, Father. That's it. We need to, Father, in the name of Jesus, we break every snare, every trap, every net. We ask you to expose it in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything, Father, that is hidden, we ask you to bring to light now in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. The Bible says that all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We thank you, Father, that the Bible declares in several places, Father, that those things that are hidden shall be brought to light. We thank you, Father, for the exposure in Jesus' name. We thank you for the spirit of truth bringing forth in abundance in Jesus' name, and for increasing the truth more and more in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that there is no hiding place for any demon, any evil spirit, any work of the devil in the lives of these family members in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are the healer. We ask you, Father, to heal now, to heal the family, to heal the relationships, to heal the members of this family, this sister and her children, Father, in Jesus' name. What about your husband? Do you have one?
I divorced him.
Okay. Is he in connection with another woman or remarried?
Is he remarried or is he dating someone else or what's going on there?
He's remarried.
He's remarried.
Okay.
So, Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for this sister going on with you. You are now her husband, Father, in Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for your keeping power in her life, Father. Now, sister, you need to fast. You need to shut off the TV. You don't need to be watching Scandal and the Housewives of Atlanta and all that other sinful stuff. You need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. You don't need to be dating. You can take those persons out of your telephone and cease to respond to their calls. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And you need to play the word over yourself continually. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you fill this sister and her children with the Holy Spirit and with fire in the name of Jesus Christ. and drive out the remaining devils in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, glory, and honor.
We'll talk to you. Call us back Friday night, will you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I will.
Okay, God loves you. Brother Marshall, we've got one more call, and we're going off the air, so I'm going to let you take that call, 518.
Hello?
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 Speak.
Hi, it's Peter. Hi,
hey, Peter.
Hi. I feel that I may have stepped out of bounds praying against some of these, the Queen of the Sea thing. You know, you bind and I took a picture the other day. What? I'm still going through battles and stuff like that. You know, my family and they're not saved and I don't know. So I'm just... I felt to ring in and just let you know I've kind of seen a lot of these spirits. The Lord's given me more to see and bind up and battle against. And I went through deliverance prayers. I have recordings of the series that you guys just did. So I went through a few hours of listening to that and praying and coughing them up and, you know, just cleaning myself up in the Lord's blood. He cleans me. Amen.
Well, Marshall, you want to pray for Peter and ask the Lord just surround him with protection and the Holy Spirit. He's been getting deliverance.
Well, we thank you, Father, for what you've already done in Peter's life, Father. We thank you for ordering his thoughts and his steps in your word. We thank you for the great work you've begun in him, that you're going to carry it on to completion. We thank you for being the author and finisher of his faith. Jesus authored his faith when he shed the blood, and he's finishing it as Peter is partaking of what you make available for him, not only your written word, but the very blood of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving Peter so perfectly. We thank you that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you that you shed your blood for each one of us, for me, for Pat, for Dr. Sabrina, for Peter, for each one of us. We thank you for loving us and keeping us as the apple of your eye. And we plead and sprinkle that blood as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus over you, Peter, and every believer who's listening. We thank you for that blood. We say, Father, continue to forgive us and deliver us because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name. Continue to give your angels charge over us, including the angel of the Lord, that encampeth round about them, that fears them and delivers them. We ask you to continue to deliver all of us, including Peter, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that blood. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You said in Zechariah 2:5, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being that wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst for Peter and every believer in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. We ask you, Father, to cause Peter's focus to shift from not just getting rid of things, which is good, but to make sure he keeps his eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith, to keep his eyes fixed right there on the one who loves him perfectly. And that perfect love casts out all ungodly spirits of fear. And we thank you for that perfect love. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You said, no greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You call Peter your friend. You lay down your life, your blood, your soul for Peter. And we thank you for what you're doing and what you have already done. And that we thank you for bringing it to completion. And we thank you for saving not only Peter but his family. You said a lamb for a house, his whole household. We thank you, Father God. You said in your word in the last verse of Isaiah 59, and this is my covenant with them, the spirit that I put upon you and the words that I put in your mouth will not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your seed or out of the mouth of your seed from henceforth and forevermore. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've begun in Peter and that you're carrying it on to completion. We ask you to continue to do so. Continue to give your angels charge over them, guardian angels and warring angels continually in Jesus' name, and every believer for that matter in Jesus' name, particularly within the sound of my voice in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement. Amen?
Yes, amen. Sir. Well, God
bless
you.
That's a confirmation with the fear thing. The Lord showed me in Scripture specifically about that, not to fear. And he's got me covered. And thank you. Praise God,
and
guys.
Don't worry about your family. Just pray for them in confidence that God saved you and he can save them. And it's through your prayers that he'll come through for you. So if you don't see them immediately saved, you just keep calling for prayer for them and believing, and God is the Savior, not us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Love you guys.
And keep thanking him.
Brother Marshall, you want to go ahead and pray for the prayers that we gave you in the beginning. Remember, we got a list.
So, Father, we come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace with our big brother Jesus because of the blood of the covenant. We thank you, Lord, that you ever lived to make intercession for us. We thank you, Lord, for purchasing us with your own blood. We thank you, Father God, for your amazing and extravagant love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the substitute for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our punishments in our place. Thank you, Jesus, when we should have received scorning and spitting and rejection, that you stood in the place and you took that in. You took the wrath of the Most High God in our place. And we worship and praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship and praise you, Heavenly Father. And it is written, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So we cast and leave every anxious thought bound, caged, and chained, including every anxious thought for tomorrow, bound, caged, and chained, and brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that he who began a good work in each one of us is carrying it on to completion. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping us as the apple of your eye. Your eyes are red with wine. Your eyes are the flame of fire. We thank you, Lord, for burning out every ungodly spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for baptizing us with the Holy Ghost and holy fire. And, Father, we ask the Lord Jesus continue to baptize every believer with the Holy Ghost and holy fire, including all those that we have and will be lifting up before you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we lift up each and every one of these. And, Father, we ask you to deliver us and grant us every gift that we need, including the gift of discernment, the gift of repentance, whatever gifts we need, every gift that your Holy Ghost wishes to give us, Father God, as he desires, particularly for each one that we're lifting up before you right now, because as we come before you with our big brother Jesus, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He's in heaven now making intercession for us. And Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven. And we ask all these things because of the blood of the covenant, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord Jesus' sake, because he paid the full price. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us shalom, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken, was upon him. With his stripes, in communion with him, we already were healed in Jesus' name. So for the sister with the lump going for the diagnostic on Friday, Father God, we hold her up before you, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit to minister to that sister, making sure that she's forgiven everyone, as particularly every female in her life, Father God, both blood relatives and acquaintances, everyone, men as well, but especially the women in her life, Father God, that she's forgiven everyone from her heart. Because you said if we hold grudges against people that were murderers, like you say in 1 John chapter 3, I think it's around verse 15, it says, no murderer has eternal life. So this is a little bit more important than just a minor surgical procedure. This is the risk of whether we're entering heaven or not, Father. So grant each of us that gift of repentance if we need it, Father. And I right now choose to forgive everyone from my heart, past, present, and future, everyone from my heart, including myself. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves, Father, because you're willing to forgive us if we confess our sins, Father. And we do confess our sins, Father. We repent for all sins, Father God, including pride and selfishness, murmuring and complaining, every sin, Father God, in Jesus' name, including bitterness and unforgiveness and resentments. We repent, Father. We don't want anything to do with any of these ungodly spirits anymore, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we pray for the ministers, the sisters that are in ministry, Father God. They're going through long physical battles and other struggles, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, to send your angels to strengthen them. Even when Jesus was praying and fasting, you sent an angel to strengthen them. We ask you to send a special angel to strengthen your sisters, Father God, your children that have been struggling and going through battles, even as Jesus went through battles, Father God. But Jesus said he won't give us anything any more than we can bear. And we thank you for doing that for each one, including for that sister, Father God. And for those that have had problems with hypertension in the past, Father, as we've cast all our cares on you and we repent, renounce, taking any anxious thought for tomorrow, We command every anxious thought for tomorrow to be bound, caged, and chained, to be brought before the feet of Jesus, to be judged before the time right now, because you'll never leave us nor forsake us. For the Lord is our strength and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We speak to the blood vessels, and we say, Shalom. Blood vessels, be at peace. We speak to the hypothalamuses and the hearts of all those involved that have ever been diagnosed with or even thinking about having hypertension in any way. And we speak to the hearts and hypothalamuses. Jesus says, peace give I unto you. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So hearts and hypothalamuses, shalom, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And blood vessels return to proper diameter in Jesus' name. Hearts function properly in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And for the different brothers struggling with personal and spiritual battles, including the brother battling with witchcraft and marine spirits, in Jesus' name, for all these that are struggling in Jesus' name, we bind, cage, and chain every ungodly spirit sent on assignment against our brothers in Jesus' name. We command them to have nothing further to do with them. Jesus took our cup of cursing. We receive his cup of blessing. Every curse coming from personal and generational curses in Jesus' name are bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name, including every witchcraft curse, is returned sevenfold to those that send them with continual repetitions, unless those sending them repent in the time frame Jesus Christ of Nazareth gives them to repent. And we dry up all the waters for the marine spirits right now in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for sending your obedient angels to watch over each one of us, including the brothers and the sisters that are going through different struggles and different battles right now, that they're more with us than are with them. We thank you for your strength, Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might in Jesus' name. And we thank you that every spirit causing infection, every spirit of infirmity coming against the lady who went to the ER after going through surgery, in Jesus' name, we bind up every spirit of nosocomial infection in Jesus' name. Every foul spirit is bound, caged, and chained, brought before the feet of Jesus to be judged before the time, and we remit that person's sins and the sins of those involved in Jesus' name. We cancel every word curse in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask you to send your word, heal and restore your children. Father, forgive them. Plead the blood of Jesus over each one. Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. They're doing the best they knew how, Father God, in Jesus. And we thank you, Father. The Lord Jesus makes house calls. He does an extraordinary, extraordinary work. And we thank you for the extraordinary work that you do. Because Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And we ask that you send your word and heal each one of these, Father, in Jesus' name, and restore and make whole each one, and bring to complete peace each one in Jesus' name, including the two sisters that are servants of the Lord, that are working for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the Lord is their shepherd. They shall not want. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So we thank you for providing all their needs according to your riches and glory, that as you bless them, Father, that they will bless others, Father God, and they will sow appropriate seeds, Father God, that they will be blessed in return in Jesus' name, even according to your word. And we thank you for granting them discernment to know how to do that, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to continue to send the Holy Spirit to order all of their thoughts and their steps in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to help the brother who's trying to balance a busy schedule with working for a large corporation, taking care of his family, and working for the Lord. Well, Lord, you gave him his work, and his work is to know the Lord Jesus. This is the work of the Lord, that you believe on him that you've sent, Father. So increase his faith, Father, and give him the balance to do the things that you want in the order and the way you want, that he will cast all his cares on you and leave them there, and that you'll take care of the rest, Father, in Jesus' name. Help him, Father, to know what you want him to do each and every moment in Jesus' name, and not to take on more than he should, to take on just the amount you want him to, Father, and we ask you to bless him, even according to your promise. You said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for my Father which is in heaven, even as you brought gas prices down already, Father, even as we prayed in agreement that you'll continue to do so, Father God, for the fuel prices, Father God, and we don't limit to just gasoline, but other types of fuel, natural gas and diesel and other fuels, we ask you to bring the prices down, and we thank you for doing so. And in fact, every spirit of greed operating through corporate entities, operating through people in positions of power in government situations, we bind every spirit of greed, every spirit of personal greed and lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. We bind every ungodly spirit bound, caged, and chained from our position, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to your word. And we give you praise and honor, Father God. We don't rejoice that the ungodly spirits are subject unto us, Father, but we rejoice that our names are written in heaven. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. That means all the kings of the earth have to bow down to you, Lord Jesus. You're the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We give you glory and dominion, Heavenly Father, forever and ever. We give you glory and dominion, King Jesus, forever and ever. We thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the anointing that abideth. We need not have any man to teach us, but as that same anointing is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught us, we shall abide in. And we thank you for the great privilege of abiding in you, Lord Jesus, of living and moving and having our being in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you said, I will be a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst. And we thank you for being a wall of fire round about in the glory in the midst for every believer, not only Dr. Holliday and Dr. Sabrina, but every believer, including myself and all our family members as well. Because you said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be sozo, you'll be saved, and your household, over in Acts 16:32. You said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved in your household. And then the jailer believed, and all his household heard the word, and they believed, and they were all believers. They all were baptized. Even in that same chapter in Acts 16, Lydia, the seller of purple, you opened her heart to receive the things spoken of the Lord. So we ask you to open our family members' hearts to hear the words spoken, the true words of the true living God, the words saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. To say that even when we were sinners, you shed your blood for us, Lord Jesus, because you know that's the only way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to our Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the awesome privilege of getting to know you, because you said this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, Father, knowing your holy name. And Jesus said, I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And we're in agreement with our King, the Lord Jesus, the Lord of hosts, praying that prayer for all of us, Father, that we will all be one with our Lord Jesus, one with you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for keeping us by the power of the blood covenant. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your obedient angels charge over each one of us continually. We thank you that the heavens do rule. And you said in the end of Psalm 103, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is your dominion. This is your land. You already whooped the devil. It's already done. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, as it is written in 1 John 3:8. And Jesus said over in the Gospel of John, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. It is finished. And we thank you, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you have the keys of hell and death. You have all power in heaven and earth. You are the Almighty. Father God has given you all power in heaven and earth. We worship and praise you, Lord of hosts. We worship and praise you, King Jesus. We know you're coming soon. Whenever Father God gives you leave, you're coming for your bride. And we ask that all of us will be ready. We ask that we'll all be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God, to stand before you, Lord Jesus, before your throne, that we'll be accounted worthy in Jesus' name. And we ask for that, Father, for us and for our loved ones in Jesus' name. We thank you that he began a good work and each one of us is carrying it on to completion. We thank you, Father, for drawing us to the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you said you did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you. It would go and bring forth fruit that shall abide. Father, I ask for every believer that's listening, all those connected and related, and all those coming into the body of Christ, and all those hundreds of millions coming into the body of Christ, that we will all be fruitful for you and for your kingdom in exactly the way you want under the unction of your Holy Spirit. And you said the moon shall be turned into blood before that great and eventful day of the Lord, that we will reflect your glory whatever way you want in Jesus' name, that we will reflect your glory. We thank you for manifesting forth your glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, We thank you, Father, for giving Jesus that glory he had with you before the foundation of the world. And we give you praise and honor, Father, in Jesus' name. And we're all in agreement for all these things according to your word, because Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done to my Father, which is in heaven. We thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers because of the blood of the covenant. And we thank you for sending your word and healing those and bringing restoration to those and protecting those and delivering those that need to be healed, particularly those that were lifted up before you this evening, Father God. And we thank you, Father, that all those nasty spirits of greed operating through high levels are bound, caged, and chained. We also bind, cage, and chain from our position seated in heavenly places every spirit of Zeus, every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, particularly coming against anyone who is and will be a member of the body of Christ, all bound, caged, and chained in Jesus' name from our position seated in heavenly places. And we give you praise and honor, Father. We thank you so much that our names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for graving our names in the palms of your hand and keeping us moment by moment. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the miracles that you've already done and all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you Friday night at 7:30. And do you remember those other times we're on the air?
Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday.
Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday. And I'm going to put some up late at night so that we can hit the West Coast. So, Brother Marshall, you got to double your prayer life.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We love you, and we'll see you Friday night.
Amen.
Love you, sisters. God. Love you, saints.
God bless you. God bless everyone that called in.
Okay.
You know, Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's given a call to you today. He wants to come and live into your heart, be your personal Savior. And the only thing that you have to do is just tell Him you're sorry for your sins. Ask Him to come and be your personal Savior. Oh, yes, He'll come in. He'll be right there. And the wonderful, wonderful thing about it is this. He'll be there from now until the end of the world. And then you'll meet Him face to face. And you'll know that this very day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Would you say a prayer with me today? Dear God, I'm a sinner. And I know that I failed. But that's why you came and died on the cross for me. And I ask you, oh God, that you will forgive me of my sins. Yeah, that's right. Just ask Him to come in now. He's waiting for you. Just to ask Him to come in now. Yes, there He is. There He is. See, I told you. Don't you feel wonderful now? Don't you feel clean? Don't you feel marvelous? Just because He died on the cross for you. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's today your Messiah. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.